Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kanes from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
So we've been studying 1 Corinthians 15, and we're in a section where Paul has been talking about the importance of the resurrection. And I really like this section we're getting into because it gives us a glimpse of the future body that we're going to have. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we die, we've got a new body that we're going to get. And for those of us who are starting to feel aches and pains because of this body starting to wear down a little bit, we're very thankful to know that there's a better body that's coming. And as you take a look at the picture we get in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, I think you'll be thrilled, hopefully, like I am, to know there's a much better body that's coming, something that really excites me and you, I hope, as we see this. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. Now, as he's been dealing with the Corinthians, apparently there have been some folks who thought the resurrection was not true, that it didn't really happen. So what we're going to get to start out with here is the questions that are asked, and I believe they're asked in a very sarcastic way. One thing with the scripture, we can't tell as you read it sometimes exactly how it was stated as far as the emotion behind it. But with this one, we're given a little help because in verse 36, he says, "How foolish are foolish ones?" So I think he's answering some questions here that are on the sarcastic side. So in verse 35, it says, "But someone may ask, how are the dead raised?" And they're basically saying, how is that possible that someone who has died is going to come back to life again? And then the second question is, with what kind of body will they come? And again, I think this is on a sarcastic note, that these questions, Paul is saying, might be asked by someone. And remember, they had some intellectual people in their culture, in their society, very similar to where we're at today. Some people who think they are so smart that they're way beyond any of this religious stuff that's out there. They don't view Christianity as being a very intelligent thing. So as we get into our study here, Paul is dealing with some with those kind of folks who think they know better than anyone else, including the Lord, and they have some sarcastic questions. So he responds to them in verse 36. He said, "How foolish are, O foolish ones," your translation might say. "What you sow does not come to life unless it dies." And he's going to use the illustration here of farming, something that most every culture can be familiar with to a point, knowing that when you plant something, when you sow it in the ground, you're putting the seeds in the ground, and the seed has to die from the perspective we see it in order for it to start to grow. And, you know, the very idea of taking that seed and putting it in the ground and burying it is a picture of us for when someone dies, we take the body and we bury it, you know. So this illustration works very, very well. So he said that it has to, before it comes to life, it has to die. So just a thought for us to chew on as we look at this, death for us as believers is something that we should look forward to. And I think about this, you know, when the farmer is putting the seed in the ground. Now, compare this to think about how we are with a funeral, okay? When we have a funeral, we're very, very sad, right? We're thinking of the person that we used to know, and we're thinking basically of the past and of where we are right now, that the person isn't there. But when the farmer puts the seed in the ground, he's not thinking of the past or the present. He's thinking of the future, right? That when that seed is planted, he's hoping for what's going to come after that. He's hoping for that thing that's going to grow up and produce fruit and be nourishment and also provide a living for him. So that seed for him is something to look forward to. And I think you and I need to keep that in mind as we think about death from the Christian perspective. As a believer dies, we have something to look forward to. Thankfully, this life isn't all that there is, okay? Especially as we feel our bodies start to decay and deteriorate and start to feel some of the aches and pains. We're very thankful that this life isn't all there is, that there's a future coming and it's going to be great. So he started to talk to us about this illustration of the seed that's planted into the ground. In verse 37, "When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body." So he says that when you take that seed and you plant it in the ground, you're hoping that it's just not going to pop up and throw a bunch of more seeds on top of the soil. You're hoping that there's going to be a plant there, there's going to be a stalk, there's going to be fruit that comes from that, and in that fruit, then there will be more seeds. So he says the body that you plant is not what you're expecting to see down the road. So he's kind of preparing for us for something here. This body that you and I have now, it isn't anything compared to what's going to come in the future. There are some similarities, but for the most part, it's not like anything that you and I know right now. And it's going to be better. I mean, I love this illustration. You think about that seed. And, you know, for instance, take an apple seed, how little that thing is, and it's kind of hard if you've seen one of those. That little thing doesn't look very attractive, you know. You put it in the ground, and what comes up from it is very beautiful. You know, you've got this tree with this luscious fruit that comes on there, and the fruit is very colorful and pretty. That is what came from that kind of ugly little seed, as we might call it. And the picture we have for us as believers is that the body we have coming after this life, when the Lord gives us a resurrected body, that body is going to be awesome compared to what we're used to seeing right now. And it might feel that way at the time. We might say, man, that body we had, it was like a seed. It was kind of an ugly thing compared to what we have now. This thing is glorious. And that's what he's going to talk to us about more as we get a little further in here. But he says in verse 38, God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Now he's talking about the illustration of the seed way back to the time of creation. When God designed things to work as they are and to be alive as they are, he made those seeds. Okay, he designed everything. So those seeds, he has determined that when you put it in the ground, this is the thing that will come up from that seed. And it has its own body. God gave it that design intentionally. Okay, so whatever you plant, and you know, if you get corn seed or whatever you want to plant, you're hoping that when you plant it, it's going to look like the corn when it comes up. You know, you'd be shocked if it came up a weed or something like that. So the Lord said he designed a specific body for every seed that is being planted. And we rely on that consistency when we plant things. That's going to come up from what we put into the ground. But the point here is that God has made that determination. For the body that you and I have right now, God has made the determination for us to have this one, and he also has determined what our next body is going to be like. And it's going to be a great thing as we see it even closer here. Now, a couple things about the seed. Let's just think about what he's showing us from this illustration. The seed isn't anything like what it comes from, and the picture for us is that new body isn't going to be like the one we have now. And there's some great differences we're going to see in the passage here when we look at that. Now again, when you and I think about death from a Christian perspective, and I hope the next time we happen to be at a funeral where there a believer is involved in that, that we think of it as a seed. Okay? And to me, that should help us have the right perspective on this, that that person who knew the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, once they have left that body, and that body is going to be put into the ground, they're coming back. And we need to look forward to that future when the Lord returns and gives us the new body that goes with that person who has been separated from their old body. So for us as believers, you picture yourself at a funeral, and here's a believer, you know, in the casket here, their body is, and that casket's going to be, that body's going to be placed into the ground in a very short time. But don't think about that as being the end, because it's just like the seed that's planted. There's a great thing coming down the road. And that helps us to understand the death, especially of a believer, to think what that's going to be like. So he goes on now. He's given us the picture of the seed, but then he goes on to verse 39. He says, all flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. Now he's telling us here, he's already used the picture of the seed and how it looks different after it dies, but he says that there's not even the flesh that we would call it that's the same. And the picture here too is that how does this flesh become what it was when he talks about these different creatures on the earth? He talks about the animals, talks about the birds, talks about the fish. Now, as we think of those categories, we can think of each different kind of flesh he's talking about, right? We think about the bird, and they've got the feathers all over the place. We think about a lot of the mammals that have the thick fur everywhere. We think of the fish, that they have scales, you know. And as we see those different things in our mind, we say, boy, those really are different. Well, how do they become different? Remember, God has determined to give each one the type of body it should have. And we know now, as we have understood things, why the fish has the type of body it does. Because it survives very well in the water that way. And why we have the type of body we do, and the animals also. Because we survive very well on land that way. Why did that happen that way? God designed us to have the right body for the place we're going to live. And that has something to do with the future as well. But I wanted you to notice something here when it says in verse 39 that men have what kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. They did not evolve that way, okay? God created them to be specifically the way they are. Now, when I hear some of the evolutionists try to convince me that you got to realize that at one point we were like the fish, we had scales, and then eventually we became, you know, like a bird and had feathers, and then eventually those feathers turned into more like a mammal covering where we had a lot of fur, and then eventually it turned into an absolutely different kind of skin, the kind that we have right now. And I'm thinking, guys, you're really stretching things to come through all that, you know? Because the Lord tells us here, they had that specific type body because that's the body God designed for them. And we can see there are extreme differences between those different kinds. So evolution is, it really is a fairy tale. It might be interesting to some, but it truly is off the charts here. It has no basis in reality. So going back to the passage of verse 40, excuse me, there are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. Now, that picture he's given to us is fairly easy for us to check out. We can go out at night and we can look at the stars and we notice there's a difference, don't we? Some are very bright, some are smaller, some are larger. He even talks about the sun, and definitely its glory is different from other ones that we see in our close area here, because the sun is putting off light, and the other things that we can see for the most part are reflecting light. So definitely there's a difference in them. And yet, there is also a similarity, okay? Because if we think about the planets, you go and look at those stars, what do they all look like? They all look like a small circle, don't they? So there are similarities in the planets that they, and everything we see in the sky, they appear round to us. They appear to have light. We can pull some of those out. And yet, if we went to each one of those, we would notice there are very distinct differences between them. So he's letting us see also that when God designs things, there are similarities, but there's also quite a bit of difference. And we're going to see as we think about it, we're used to the bodies that we have right now, you know, that function the way we're used to them functioning. But God's telling us there's a body that's coming that has some similarity to what we're used to, but it's going to be very different in a lot of ways and a lot of good ways too. So keep this in mind as he's trying to teach us about this new body we have coming. It's very different from what we're used to. Very distinct, although there might be some similarities. Look at verse 42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So let's just examine some of those differences he's telling us. Now, he said this is going to be different, and boy, look at the differences. He's going to show us a glimpse of anyway here. When he talks about the body that is sown is perishable. The body that you and I are in right now, that thing is very perishable. You might have the term corrupt there, or the word corruption. And it means that it's subject to decay. And the idea is that it's falling apart, as we know. You know, as the longer you live in this body, you realize it's falling apart. It's not what it used to be. And it's due to man's sin. When God designed Adam and Eve in the garden, their body was not subject to decay. They were going to live forever in the state that they were at that time. They didn't have any problem with sickness or anything like that. They were going to continue to live on and on and on without any health problems at all, including not having to worry about death or the body falling apart. After the sin occurred, death happened. Death came into the world. And at that point, man's body started to decay. And like I said, it doesn't take very long for us to get to that peak where all of a sudden the body starts going down. And the older we get, the more we notice, unfortunately, that this body isn't going to last very long. And it's all due to man's sin. So it says this body is sown in that perishable or that corrupt state, but it is raised imperishable. And it means it's not subject to decay. So that body we get is never going to have any kind of problem of falling apart like we're used to now. And also, it's not going to be subject to the control of sin. And that's going to be amazing. This is something that I think about, and it just gets to me. You think about this. Do you realize that as sinners, we always have selfish thoughts? We can't get away from that. That's part of our sin nature. It has us focusing on me. Okay, the day will come, though, with this new body where we don't have that problem anymore. Our focus will not be on us. It'll be focused on others and on the Lord completely without ever having to worry about who we are, how we look, or things like that. That's why when people say you think you're going to get your hair back, you know, with a new body, it won't matter. It really won't matter. We really won't care because we won't have the selfish thinking that we do right now. That won't be a problem for us. I think I told you before, I really like the statement that was made that said, you know, after Adam and Eve sinned, they noticed they were naked. And I think it was Chuck Swindoll who said, he thinks at that time, that was the first time they ever looked at themselves. That's how they realized they were naked at that point. So at that point, man's selfishness began, and he started to look toward himself. So what it was like before that, we can't even imagine. We just, because of the sin nature and the damage it's done to our mind, our bodies and things, we just have a hard time getting past me, you know. But that new body will not be a problem at all. We're still going to be us. We're still going to have that similarity. It's still going to be you and me, but we won't have the selfish aspect. Boy, it's going to be easy to love people then, isn't it? I mean, now it's hard sometimes because we see the selfishness in others and the selfishness in us, and it's just a struggle sometimes to love other people. But at that point, man, the love is going to be awesome because we will not be in that problem. We won't have that problem with ourselves like that. So it's that body that is perishable is raised to be imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, and the picture there is of shame, and it's due to the result of death, I mean, a result of sin. Do you realize every time we see death, every time we go to a funeral, that is the ultimate result of sin? Because Adam and Eve sinned, and Romans 5 is great on that if you want to check that out, the sin was brought into the world. And because of that, every person will die. This body will face death one day, and that is something that's not going to change, you know. So when we think of death, we should think of sin, because that's why we go to funerals, because of sin. That's why people are murdered, because of sin. That's why all the junk is out there today in the world, because of sin. And it just shows us how dangerous sin is. So this body that has been touched by sin and is deteriorating, it is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. And again, the picture of us being raised is no more sin problem. It's not been touched by sin. It never will be touched by sin when we get that new body. We're way beyond that at that point. So the dishonor will be completely gone. No more shame. I don't know if we can even imagine that. You know, I was raised where the grandparents told us, shame on you, and we did something wrong, and we felt that shame, you know. But the day will come with that new body where we have nothing ever to be ashamed of. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Just to have those emotions out of the way. That's going to be cool. Then says it is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. Now, I really like this one because you think about this. Our bodies are weak, and as we get older, they get weaker by the day. I mean, we can exercise and do the best we can to try to keep the thing going, but the day will come, no matter who you are, how much you've exercised, where this body is going to fade away in weakness. If we live long enough without some tragedy intervening, the day will come where the body will be totally weak, okay, and no longer able to function. But we're going to be raised in power. Now, think about this. No more weakness. No more allergies for those of us going through that stuff. That'll be nice. We'll never get sick. No more colds. You know, we never have to face death. There'll be no more cancer. That'd be awesome. No more glasses either. And I was waking to this yesterday. I got almost all the way to the barber shop and realized I left my glasses at home. And I thought, well, I can't cut hair like that because I need it for seeing close up. So I'd head back home and get them. So that really stuck when I'm thinking, oh boy, that day will come where we won't need these things anymore. You can forget the glasses and it's cool. You don't need them, okay? So that's awesome stuff to think about in the future, what the new body is going to be like. Goes on in verse 44, it is sown a natural body and it is raised a spiritual body. This physical body is going to decay all the way back to dust. And think about it, that's where this body came from. Adam was formed from the dust of the ground, remember? And we know, we see a real true fact there, because when this body stops working and all the functions quit, it starts to decay all the way down to the factor of dust. So this natural body is going to be raised a spiritual body, and it's not going to be dust. It'll never be returning to dust again. So awesome picture here the Lord gives us of a small glimpse of what that's going to look like. It goes further, he said, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And this picture here of Adam becoming a living being, this is one of the places you can go to totally refute evolution, okay? Because if you read the creation story, the Lord said that he formed the man from the ground, so he made the man's body. Then he breathed life into him, and he became a living being. And the Lord is very careful the way he says this in the scripture. Because the picture was, he had a lifeless body here. There was no life in it, and God put life into that. So from no life became life, and that was the working of God. Now, evolution tries to tell us that there was some monkey one day that woke up and realized it had a little baby that was born that was human, and are more human than it, and all of a sudden they kept developing from there. Though the teaching of evolution is there was already life, and life came from life. And the Lord says, no, when he created man's body, it had no life in it. He breathed life into that body, and it became a living being. So a very distinct difference between creation and evolution, and you can't mix the two together. You can't even say, well, I believe in both, because that point right there will say that you got a problem. You have to believe the story that God told us. There was a lifeless being that was given life by God. Now, he tells us here that the last Adam became a life-giving spirit, was the picture, and if you'll notice in your text there, the word became is kind of missing. It's implied in the grammar, but it's not really there. And the reason, I think, is God's telling us that Jesus always has been a life giver. He created everything. But I want you to see something in John chapter 12, talking about him becoming a life-giving spirit. Because it's talking about you and me when it gets to this point. In John chapter 12, if you look back there, we're looking at John chapter 12. Come down to verse 23 or 24. Because the 23 kind of gives you the context. It says, Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man, that's the Messiah himself, to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And here Jesus was talking about his death. And he was saying, I have to go to the grave. I have to die. Because after I die, and he doesn't explain it all here, but we understand, he was saying, once I pay for the sins of the world, this one seed of Jesus now, as he is raised from the dead, he is able to produce many seeds. And if you're in Christ today, you are one of those many seeds he was talking about. And he was saying that's the way it had to be in God's plan. Jesus had to die. But after he faced death and paid the penalty, his new life he was now able to give to us also. Put that seed in us. And we have life now in him. So as you go back to 1 Corinthians, he said the last Adam became a life-giving spirit, and that's Jesus. He does. He gives life to all who come to him, scriptures tell us. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. And I think his point here is, so don't be fooled by just looking at the natural man and what you see going on right now, because it's just a first in God's order of things. And this is where we have a real problem as human beings, okay? People look at other people and the way things are now, and what do they see? Well, a body grows to a point, then it ends up dying, and we bury the thing, and that's all we see. So because of that, man's normal thinking is, well, there's nothing after that. And I know you've talked to people, because I have, who said, well, when I die, I'm just going to be stuck in the ground. That's all there is. There's nothing else. Well, what are they basing that on? It's just what they have seen with their own eyes. And the Lord tells us, don't be fooled by that, but look at that as evidence. The natural had to come first, and then after that, the spiritual body. Okay? So don't be fooled and when you see, like other people, just see what you look at now and kind of make your assumption based on that or your conclusion based on what you see. There's more to it than what our eyes are seeing right now. That's why God's sharing some of this insight with us. Verse 47, the first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. Talking about Jesus coming from heaven. As was the earthly man. When
I walk with you. Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will